That's because I just get a little wild and it's time for a snack break.
Go-to karaoke song.
Ooh, you make assumptions that I even go to karaoke. probably the last time I was like regularly into karaoke, it was Bad Romance by Lady Gaga. And I honestly think it still stand today.
That song rules. That's great. That music video is a good time too.
It really is. Peak wow. Weird Gaga. Meat Dress era. Man.
Bring back Weird Gaga. Bring it back.
Of this.
It got too
Joanna
tame.
Like acoustic. No. Like Beyonce can go country, but Gaga, I'm sorry, not.
She's
here
allowed
for
to do whatever
it.
She wants, but she needs to bring it back. No, yeah, we don't need to do the meat dress again.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I like when she had like a little bit of everything on her albums.
Yeah.
Like You and I was very like funky.
Oh, that was my
country.
Actually, you know what? That's my go-to listen, there's kind of like two routes I go. If the crowd seems like they can handle some musical theater, aka if I'm at a gay bar, and I don't just go to gay bars by myself. I go with my friend Andy. And then this literally happened in New Orleans. Okay, we're going to get to the episode soon. I am not shitting you. My friend, we like had a friend trip to New Orleans. My friend Andy rolls up to New Orleans early. And he heads beeline straight for the closest gay bar to our Airbnb. Makes 14 new friends. Promises that my vocal stylings will be featured that evening. And then I get there, I'm like fresh off to like 10 hours of flying, and I'm like, what the fuck is up, everyone? And Andy's like, I promised everyone at the bar that you would sing for them tonight. And I'm like, what? He's like, all my friends that I've made at the gay bar. And I'm like, god damn it. And so then I go the Broadway route. And then I either do like maybe this time from Cabaret, or I do some Don't Rain on My Parade from Funny Girl if I'm feeling warm. People love it. If it seems like people will really hate musicals, then I do You and I by Lady Gaga. But I think I want to start.
Ooh, good backup.
But I think my other plan that I want to start doing is Bohemian Rhapsody, but only if I have a group of my guy friends with me that will be my choir boys in the background. So that's all. I'll report back on how that goes. But I also like that I can opera in the middle of it, and that will stress people out. But I also think everyone likes Bohemian Rhapsody. So anyways, I'll report back. I'm trying to make karaoke plans for tonight, which is why this is coming.
Oh my God. Fresh on the mind. Well, I think if you sing Bohemian Rhapsody, you and everybody will participate in karaoke.
Correct.
Because no one
you can't have a beer in your hand. You have
and
to.
And not belt it. In the name of Freddie Mercury, in the spirit of Freddie Mercury,
yeah.
Amen. You have to bless the
exactly.
universe with
you get,
belting it out.
You just got to get psyched. Okay, well, anyways, hello, everyone. You're listening to the Average Climber podcast.
We're sorry.
I'm Lauren. I'm a certified personal trainer and climbing coach. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Caitlin. Caitlin, tell them what you do.
besides
periods of your life where you're into karaoke, which I think is a funny way to phrase that. Okay, go on.
The karaoke version of me. No. So my name is Caitlin. I realize I don't have fun anymore. That's kind of the thing I just realized. I'm like, oh, maybe I should change things. Okay. But I'm a certified nutrition specialist. Sometimes I do bring the bummer to these episodes. So today we're going to actually do a nutrition rapid fire Q&A. And these are the questions that you all asked me on my Instagram stories. So isn't that lovely?
Yeah, I'm excited. These are some good questions. I feel like they're commonly asked questions, and it's going to be a good time. Before we get into the rapid fires, I want to remind you all.
Yes.
To please, for the love of all things that are good and karaoke, leave us a review.
Freddie Mercury.
For the love of Freddie Mercury, please. leave us a review. Or just, okay, so if you're on Spotify, what you're going to do, you're going to stop right now, unless you're driving, in which case keep driving. But you're going to go to Spotify and you're just going to hit the number of stars that you think we deserve. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit the number of stars you think we deserve and take like 15 seconds to write two or three sentences about what you like about the show. It helps us so much to have reviews up. And if we feature your review on the show, then you'll get some free stickers. And isn't that fun? So that's what's up with that. Okay, now let's get into the episodes. Caitlin, are you ready for some rapid fire Q&A?
I am ready. Some of these are going to be a little spice, so.
Yes, yeah. I'm psyched. All right, let's get into the first one. Collagen before or after climbing for finger tendon health, or not at all?
Okay, listen, y'all.
All right, she's about to preach.
So, I got some bad news about collagen. A few years ago, the hopes were high for collagen. There were a lot of good research papers about it. There were some that were not so good, and then there were some that were just straight up bad. So
when you say good or bad, like, are you saying the quality of the research was good or bad? Okay, quality. Mm-hmm. Got it. We're talking quality, not results. Okay.
Correct. But even with the good quality, high quality research papers, their results would say, you know, it's like, it kind of depends. And every study sort of ended with future studies should look at this and more research is needed. But we kind of found there's some support and everybody was like, yeah, okay, support. Great. We love it. And while I think it's a great thing to have support for your joints and to support your overall collagen synthesis and all that good stuff, I think I'm really sad to say that the current body of evidence is sort of leaning in the, we don't really think it does all that much, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Like current studies, I mean, bummed. I know within the last 3 years, a lot more research has come out and there's some consensus that collagen supplementation can be beneficial for improving joint functionality and reducing joint pain. But again, it's not like a direct, like you consume, it goes to the joint, does its magic healy, and that's it. It's like, it only supports your body's collagen synthesis. So if you're a balanced diet, you're eating enough calories, you're getting enough of your macros and micros, and you're recovering and, you know, not overtraining, you're theoretically already supporting the your natural collagen synthesis. Of course, there are outliers here. And I'm not going to say if you take collagen, stop, because I think a lot of people do really find it beneficial. And I've had athletes tell me, you know, coming back from an injury, it was something that they did and they felt really good about and it helped them feel that they were doing an added step. So I'm not going to sit here and say like, actually, it doesn't help, because, you know, at the end of the day, you have to decide if it works best for you. And I think most of the research does say to take it before training.
Right.
Again, that's, you know, if you want to use it, up to you. The one thing I will say about collagen as a sort of like just blanket general statement to be wary of, you cannot take collagen and expect it to replace protein. Because
don't count it as your protein intake. I remember being confused about that and asking Caitlin if like you would could count collagen as protein.
Right. Well, because it's cool because you're like, oh, 10 grams for like a tablespoon or two. Sick. Yeah, that's
like
great.
Sick. Easy.
That's awesome.
It's just powder.
But, right. Yeah. But the one downside of collagen is that it's only composed of non-essential amino acids. So it's not as if you're getting this like, you know, muscle protein synthesis benefit. You would need essential amino acids from complete protein sources in order to get that benefit. And I'm not saying these other, you know, amino acids aren't beneficial. You do need them, but you should theoretically be supplying them in your overall diet. So I'm not going to say no, but I'm also going to say I'm a little bit bummed about what the research is showing right now. And I want y'all to save your money on supplements. So if you don't already take it, you haven't noticed a benefit, then, you know, maybe a protein powder would be a better investment for you.
Yeah. So sounds like collagen may or may not work based on how the research is presenting right now. And
yeah,
cover and your bases, and collagen can be the cherry on top if you want it to be.
Right. Yeah. Finger health, I think, is also something that most researchers aren't looking at unless they're in the climbing specific areas. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I have big feels about this because it was so promising and so hopeful, but yeah, that's where we're at.
Yep. Okay. Awesome. All right. Next question. How long do you need to bulk for? Bulk was in quotes. And this individual says, I know you recommend smaller increases in energy versus doing, like, you know, big swings. So
yeah. Okay. This is a really good question. And I'm glad that this individual asked this too, because I think this is where it can get confusing if you're trying to, you're like, okay, got it. Got to eat more, feel good about that. But then if you're bulking for a while, you're like, oh, I don't know if this is like heading in the direction, or like if this is doing what I wanted it to initially. Right. So this is a good question. For any cycle of bulking, or I'm not going to call it cutting, we're going to call it recomping. So bulking or recomping, you're going to want to have a time limit. And the reason for that is because A, it will drive you crazy to persist in this zone of either increase or decrease forever. It's also not beneficial to be in this zone for a very long time, and it's best when it's matched with your training. So if like your goal is to really, really bulk, build muscle, you know, build adaptations and feel really strong, then that should match with that training cycle. Your nutrition should match with that training cycle. So usually I recommend chunks of time in the like 16-week phase. So,
okay.
Yeah, that, like, I know some training
16 like, weeks know, to like be like increase your, like, if you're like going to be like, I'm going to be in a phase where I'm going to be maybe in a caloric like surplus, do that for like no more than 16 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And it's okay. Not as if you're going up constantly. It's like, maybe initially it's a 5% increase. Maybe initially it's a 20% increase, you know, and it can kind of vary.
And then you just leave it there. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not like this exponential build or anything like that.
Correct. It's more of like a, okay, you're building up. So now what are your maintenance calories for this bulk phase? So usually in that phase, I would recommend a person kind of like incrementally increase over the first couple of weeks, just because that can be a hard sort of like forced increase in the diet. And I think a lot of people are just like, oh, it's so much initially. So it just gives you some time to warm up to that, because you want to make sure your training is matched, or your nutrition is matched to your training, and vice versa. And in order to do that, I think it's helpful to, like, you know, progressive overload even your bulk. Like, I think it's helpful to have that staged approach. But then when you're kind of getting to that point where you're like, okay, I'm gonna like gonna hang here, I'm gonna try and get stronger, like, I think having like a sort of maintenance base of where you're at for this new level of strength is important. So I will say that this is something you want to experiment with, and I think it can be tricky without the sort of timeline planned out for you by a nutritionist or dietitian who works in your sport or who understands like the biomechanics and like the nutrition perspectives of building muscle. But I do think that having those bouts of time where it's like, okay, for 16 weeks, I'm in a bulk phase, or 16 weeks in a recomp phase, and they're very small changes incrementally. So it's not like you want to start out the gate with percent or minus, or, you know, plus or minus 20%, I think would be kind of hefty. So that's my
what would be your roundabout. Like, kind of on the flip side, what would be the minimum amount of time that you would want to spend in any of these phases? Like 6 weeks? Less? More?
Yeah. Like, say you're newer to training and your capacity to build strength, like, right, in the early stages of training, your capacity to build strength and muscle is like a lot higher, or your gains are a lot higher, right?
They come a little bit easier. Theoretically.
Okay. Yes. So in that phase, I would say, you know, if you're trying to build and like increase in this phase, I would probably say like give yourself a minimum of, yeah, minimum of 6 weeks. But I don't know. I'm saying it now and I'm like, I think it should really depend on the individual, because depending on where you're at with training, where you're at with training in this specific sport and what your goals are too, I think can really dictate what your nutrition should look like. It also depends on what your base level of nutrition is. So like if you are foundationally not eating enough where you are now, I think then there are different hurdles to have to jump through to eat enough to match that
what you're doing,
higher dose of training and like the goal of building strength. So I would say at a base level, probably 6 weeks, like give it some time. But I do think really like having a window of 16 weeks is going to be helpful.
Okay. So bottom line, the minimum time that you would want to be like in a phase of doing a certain thing with nutrition is somewhat up for debate depending on your history, but the longest you would probably want to be bulking for is like no more than 16 weeks or you're going to get tired of it and your body will be over. So, okay, got it. Yep. All right, moving on to our next question that is also bulking adjacent. This individual says, I take creatine on gym days only. Good question mark, bad question mark. So is it good or bad to like take creatine just on gym days, or should you be taking it every day?
So creatine, I think you can have better outcomes if you are taking it consistently. So I think oftentimes people use it as like a pre-workout and they'll take it only on their gym days, you know, 30 minutes before. And while that's not necessarily a bad thing, you're not getting the full benefit. So you can actually like maximize its power for you if you take it more consistently. And the goal is to build it up in your muscle. So like when you're taking creatine, it's not like a, you know, I take it, immediate effect, kind of, but like the goal with taking it is to have it build up your stores in your muscle. Like it's not, it's also not exactly what's happening, but like that's really the ultimate goal, is to like build up a capacity, I should say. So
okay,
if you were to take it, here's my best recommendation, because I know creatine is really expensive. And if you're like a budget desiring person, and that's why you might take it sporadically, I would actually say my recommendation is to take a dose of about 3 to 5 grams per day for 3 to 5 weeks. So
you could, and say, then you can drop down to just doing it gym days only.
Then you can take 2 to 3 weeks off without taking it at all and start the cycle again when you're ready.
Okay.
So
easy peasy. I did not know that.
Yeah. So there you go. I think you can really like play around with it and also see if it feels like it's supporting you. Cause in that approach, it probably would. And that's of course not like a loaded phase. That's a very different phase where you take like 3 to 5 grams 5 times a day for 3 to 5.
That's
weeks.
So annoying. I will never remember to do that.
Or sorry, not for just 3 to 5 weeks. That would be for a week.
For a week? So, okay, but that sounds really annoying. And I feel like you would fuck it up.
Yeah, that's if you want to load like right before a competition, right before an event, right before some goal you have. But I think that is really a hard thing to plan and also kind of annoying. So
that sounds annoying. Yeah.
Live your life however it feels best for you. But I think the 3 to 5 grams for 3 to 5 weeks with 2 to 3 weeks of break time in between is like the approach I would take. Just okay. So you're getting the most benefit out of it, but also saving money. Mm-hmm. That's
perfect.
That's where we're at.
Easy peasy. All right. I think that totally makes sense. Bringing us to our final question. This question is, do you have any tips for vegans trying to gain muscle? And do you have any tips for vegans and protein?
Ooh, yes. Oh, man. Lauren, I wish we had made Protein Pals into like a full blown course. And
oh man, I know. Well, there's still time. Yes.
But Protein Pals, we talked about this for like 2 whole days over the 2 weeks of this freebie. But yeah, that's a really good question because I think vegans, plant-based athletes, vegetarians, like you can absolutely gain muscle without eating meat. I think it works better for some than others, and that might just be who you are genetically. It might be how your current diet is, you know, in terms of like meal composition and amino acids as well and calories for the day. But usually what I tend to recommend is just make sure your overall diet is providing sufficient calories, because let me give you a really bad example, but if you were eating 1500 grams of exclusively protein, you would still not be eating enough because your total calories aren't providing you what you need. So I say 1500 because that's like the recommendation for a toddler. So that's
1500 calories. Okay. Yes.
Correct.
Yep.
Like if your total calories for the day, even if it was 100% protein calories, you would still not be able to see the gains that you're looking for because you would just not be eating enough.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So even though it is protein, but it's just like still not enough to sustain you and your activity.
Correct.
Okay. Perfect.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Because like your body's not only working out, unfortunately, like, right? That's.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Exactly.
It's not as easy to mm-hmm. figure that when like you have a whole life that you have to support too. And that's actually like where most of your calories are going to. So in order to support your training, you have to make sure you're eating enough overall. Enough will look different for everybody, and it depends on you as a person, but also your activity levels, the intensity. That's a whole different story, but that's important to keep in mind. The other thing that I would keep in mind too is if you are getting sufficient calories and you're not really seeing a gain in muscle like you might expect, that's when I would probably address your protein.
Okay. It's
usually in that circumstance, like maybe you're just not getting enough complete proteins. So that just means you're getting enough of those amino acids that mm-hmm. help support muscle protein synthesis and help repair yep. muscles. And all foods have all essential amino acids, but the dose is what we're looking for. So for example, if you were to say, okay, well, lentils have high protein, that's true, but you have to balance them with another amino acid.
You gotta complete the protein.
Yes, exactly. So like for beans, you would do like beans and grains, or you could do beans and seeds and nuts. You could also do grains and seeds and nuts. So like there are different combinations you can have there. And that's where I would try to emphasize is like eating them during meal times together rather than separately, and making sure every single meal you eat does have protein. The other thing I'd probably suggest too is like maybe getting a protein shake in would be really helpful, because I think that's just like a peace of mind sort of deal. If you're mm-hmm. able to check that box at the end of the day and say like, okay, well, I know I had some protein at each of my meals. I know I had a protein shake.
That's probably be good.
Yeah, probably would be. The other thing I will say too is if you haven't listened to episode 15, this is a while ago.
I'm like scrolling through 15 and 16. We did a whole plant-based athlete nutrition series. So if you want more in-depth infos, like I know it was like around 13, 14, but
yeah,
so
it was one of the early episodes, but I think you'll get what you're looking for in that, those two episodes. And if you feel like you're still kind of like, oh, okay, well I'm doing all the things and it's still not working, give me a holler, hoot and holler me, because I would love to sort of brainstorm what's going on, because that can be really frustrating to be like, ugh, I'm doing everything and it's not helping. And
that would be a good do a vibe check with Caitlin.
Yes,
it will be worth your time and doll hairs to do a vibe check with Caitlin if you feel like you're doing the things right, or you like feel like you're making a good effort but you're still, it's still not working. That's when to like call a coach and call a nutritionist,
get some support. And so, remember, nice, as a listener, use the code AVERAGE and you get $20 off. So
hell yeah, that's awesome. Deals on deals. Okay, amazing. Well, Caitlin, those are all of our rapid fire questions. Shall we wrap it up there? Do you have any announcements that you want to make before we close this out,
other than the usual? This last month or so we talked a lot about the rock map, which is free.
Do the rock map if you haven't done it. What are you doing?
Yeah, if you're like, oh, I still have nutrition questions and I didn't submit one to the question box on Caitlin's stories and now I have more questions about these. Okay, well, if you're just kind of like...
Do the rock map.
Yeah, head scratcher, like, oh, am I doing okay with my nutrition? Rock map. And then if you're like, I just need to go a little deeper, I'd love some support and advice because I really like to do things on my own, but I like to have like a heading before I go. Then that's where the vibe check comes in. And we will put all of the links to these in the show notes. And yeah, I hope they're useful for you. That's why I created
them. Absolutely. Okay, amazing. Sounds good. All right. Well, I think we can wrap her up there. Until next time, everyone.
Keep it
average.